Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is time for another video. And today I'm here with somebody who's no stranger to Magic TV, somebody who I've gone on record as saying is one of the most creative magicians on the planet, a good friend, and just an awesome performer, the head honcho at the Chamber of Secrets, and the one and only marvelous Matthew Wright. How you doing, Matt?
I'm all right, Craig. How are you, buddy?
I'm excited because finally, and that's what this video is all about, finally, you have launched the Kickstarter that the entire Magic community has been waiting for. I couldn't be more excited. And as soon as I found out that this Kickstarter was taking place, I said, right, I have to do an interview with you because every person in the world needs to know what this is, what they get. I want everyone to understand about this because this is one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. The masterpiece is launched on Kickstarter. I'm just going to bring up Kickstarter here, then I can tell you exactly what it says. But yeah, we spoke last year about this.
We did.
Just before Blackpool last year, and I said it's almost ready, it might be ready for Blackpool. And we've done another 12 months of prototyping since then
You would have it at Blackpool 2023.
Yeah.
And it's now coming out just before Blackpool 2024. So nobody can accuse you of rushing this thing out to market.
This has been tested. This has been in my show this summer. It's road tested. It works a treat. It looks a treat. For those who don't know what it is, it's I use it as a mobile phone to impossible location. Any small object works with it, but it's really a nest of boxes that's based on Tommy Wonder's version 3 nest of boxes, which was the watch inside an alarm clock inside a box.
Well, before we talk about the masterpiece, let's talk about the history behind this, because I think it'd be worth doing that. So first of all, you have a certain fascination towards Tommy Wonder.
The Books of Wonder, along with Mastering the Art of Magic by Eugene Berger, were two books that I read in my really informative years of learning magic, and they changed my life. So much so that I went to live in Chicago to study with Eugene Berger, and I also traveled to the Magic Castle to meet up with Tommy Wonder, went to Holland to meet up with Tommy Wonder. These two authors of these books were magicians that became heroes of mine, and I had to know on a personal level.
That's amazing. And the original Tommy Wonder nest of boxes, I think it was one of those tricks. If you were around Magic at the time when the DVDs, the L&L DVDs came out, everybody was talking about this nest of boxes routine for a couple of different reasons. One, it fooled every magician that watched it because literally what was it that disappeared? I'm trying to remember.
It was a borrowed wristwatch.
The watch just vanished. And then he had it was inside a box that was inside an alarm clock sealed up. It was absolutely insane. It fooled every magician that watched it.
The magician never touched the box. Yeah.
But then the other reason everyone talked about it is the method was bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely bonkers.
I remember watching Max Maven on the L&L videos when they were explaining it. And at one point he just started laughing. And Tommy's like, what are you laughing at? It's not funny. He said, I'm just laughing at everyone at home that I know are thinking you are absolutely crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think anybody would have made one of those up because it was...
I made one.
Okay, other than you, but you're insane. Like, you went to university to study metalworking or stuff like that, just so that you could build props. I mean, you're a special kind of nuts yourself, to be perfect.
Yeah, I did a BA honours degree in special effects and spent pretty much 2 years building the nest of boxes, the Tommy Wonder nest of boxes. I built a few versions of it. My first 2 years at university, all the projects were geared around the nest of boxes. And then in year three, I built a Eugene Burger puppet.
That's
so cool. Really, I spent 3 years learning how to make magic tricks for my act. Yeah.
What a degree. But I think it's safe to say you're probably the only person that did build one, because, you know, I mean, you had to spend 2 years at university to figure out how to do it. Like,
well,
an easy build.
It was more than not an easy build. It was a treasure hunt. It was incredible. Because the videos didn't tell you how to make it. They showed you how it worked, but they didn't tell you how to make it. And then when you looked at the Books of Wonder that had very detailed instructions, the detailed instructions weren't right.
Really?
Purposefully not right, I think. Tommy Wonder was a genius, and I think he did it on purpose. You couldn't take this book to an engineer and say, follow those instructions and build this for me. It just wasn't like that. Some of the drawings that were in there were flipped, so they were mirrored, and you didn't know until you built it and put it, that doesn't work. Then you realize that some of the images were flipped. That doesn't happen by mistake.
No, not at all.
The measurements that were in there, they didn't tell you what they were, didn't tell you whether they were millimeters, centimeters, or inches, and some of them were in inches and some of them were in millimeters. So you had to work it out for yourself. And I don't, Tommy Wonder was such focused on details. I don't think he'd leave those details out if he didn't want to. So it became like a treasure hunt. All the clues to build this table were there, but you had to work for them and you had to dig for them to get it and build it. It was brilliant. Such an adventure.
And you got it and built it. And it is an amazing prop. The problem with it is it's not the most practical thing in the world for a touring magician. Maybe for somebody who's got their own theater, it's
I worked it for a lot of years. I worked it into the ground. It was just a shivering wreck by the time I'd finished with it. But the reason that I stopped using it and went on to what became the Wonderphone was because at the time I was going out into the audience to borrow a wristwatch, and nobody was wearing a wristwatch anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody wore wristwatches.
It was everybody, that time when nobody wore a watch.
Everybody had the time on their phone. Nobody carried a watch. So now it was all phones. So I switched to borrowing a mobile phone. Now it's gone back the other way a little bit and everyone's wearing watches again.
But
at that time, for a few years, there was nobody wearing a watch.
Which brings us to the Wonderphone, which I remember you marketing and releasing at the Blackpool Magic Convention probably about 10 years ago now, if not longer. I remember it very vividly because I walked in and it was on the right-hand side. You're in a different place than you were. I think it was the year that you had the Pencyclopedia out as well. And you had
Yes, it was, yeah.
And you had this thing that just looked incredible. It was a little telephone box. And inside the telephone box, you opened up the little sort of very classically British telephone box, and inside was a phone, I believe, and you unscrewed the phone and inside was their borrowed phone. And it was based on Tommy Wonder's Nest of Boxes routine. And you built
absolutely
it perfectly. And it was the talk of the convention that year. Everybody was, you know, like there's always a trick at Blackpool where you go, oh, has everyone seen this? You got to go and look at this. You got to go and look at that. Everyone was talking about the Wonderphone. And I know that so many people were doing it. I'm pretty sure Mark Lavelle had one. There's a whole bunch of people that had one.
Yeah, Jamie Raven took one, did it on TV. A few guys who have their own shows in America, I've forgotten the names, but some big names took them and used them in their shows. Yeah, absolutely. And we only made a very limited number of them. Chris Stickland and Andy Hurst were the engineers and designers behind that project. Unfortunately, Andy passed away not too long ago. So that was dead in the water. That couldn't go any further. It was so well engineered and so beautifully constructed. I couldn't really get anyone to build it anymore anyway.
And the one negative behind it it was amazing. But the one negative, and I bring this up because that's a negative that's not here with the masterpiece. The one negative is it was a big prop to travel. You had
it was huge.
You had to. It was a big setup. Took a long time to set up, and it took up a lot of real estate on a stage.
It was two flight cases. You had to on the stage, and it wasn't really. Once it was on the stage, it was there. For me, it wasn't an issue because I've got my own theatre. It stays there, and it never comes down. But for a traveling magician, it was a little difficult. Absolutely, it was bulky. Two big flight cases. 20-minute, 30-minute setup before you got there. Brilliant trick, but yet, as far as a traveling magician, a cabaret magician, or a working magician, possibly a little impractical.
So that was the end of the journey when it came to that. The Wonderphone came out. It couldn't be made anymore. And we thought that the whole thing was dead in the water. We thought that, like, well, if you're never going to make the Wonderphone, nobody else is going to do it. You've literally got a degree in how to do it. And then the masterpiece comes about. So this was advertised last year. What made you decide to revisit the well? And what were your goals when you were creating this thing?
Again, it was out of necessity. I created the Wonderphone because I couldn't borrow a wristwatch anymore. Now, when I originally created this, like you say, 10 years ago, mobile phones were this big.
Yeah.
Now mobile phones are this big, and I couldn't get them they physically wouldn't fit in the phone anymore. The whole thing was outdated. So when I was looking around the audience to borrow a mobile phone to choose, I was so limited in who I could choose because I had to make sure they had a small enough phone. So that was the reason that I went back to it, because I had to. My routine was suffering. Obviously, when you're picking someone to come up on stage, you want to pick the best person. That was being limited because now I could only pick from two or three people, and people with iPhone 6s might not have been the best person to come up on stage, you know? This new prop, now it's more versatile. Now it's a much bigger carry case. Now we can fit much more things in. We can fit any size within reason mobile phone. I mean, some of them are as big as bloody iPads now, so you can't get them, but certainly an iPhone Max Pro and all that sort of thing, the big mobile phones, they fit in there quite happily.
Perfect. And so your original plan was to bring it out last year at Blackpool. You spent a year since then refining it, working it on in the show. And I had an email yesterday from Thomas More Creative pushing the Kickstarter. So I'm guessing the guys at Thomas More helped create the masterpiece. Is that right?
100%. Yeah, they've been brilliant. The year before last year, so 2 years ago at Blackpool, I was on a stand next to Tom from Thomas More Creatives. If you don't know who they are, they create illusions for everybody. For America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, Penn and Teller, all the top names, all the top acts have all used illusions from these guys. They work with all the names. Talking to him, got on really, really well with him. And I mentioned that I'm looking to do this. So after Blackpool, got home, everything settled down. I sent them an email. I sent them what I had. And then they got to work and start putting their touch on it. And what they've brought to the party is all their knowledge of illusion building, all their illusion principles. Like, without giving too many secrets away, a lot of illusions have false bases and things like that. That's what they've brought to the party with this, things that had never crossed my mind. So it's much more deceptive now. And they've brought a lot to it. They've probably made 20 prototypes over that first year. And then I took it to Blackpool, had a look at it, had a tweet with it, wasn't quite right, changed some more things. And that's where the last 12 months has been. He's working with it and refining it so it works perfectly in the show every time.
Perfect. Which brings us bang up to date. Now, before we talk about the Kickstarter, let's talk about the masterpiece itself. In essence, as we have alluded to in this interview, the masterpiece allows you to borrow a phone or some other type of object, have it vanish and appear in a nest of boxes. So first of all, for people who've never seen the Wonderphone, never saw Tommy Wonder's nest of boxes, never saw anything like that, what's the advantage between the masterpiece and a normal nest of boxes, which is just sitting on a table, and you know, you load it in and through the back or the bottom or something. And then what's the advantages of the masterpiece over the previous iteration, other than the fact that the phone fits?
Okay. First of all, you never touch the box. That was the thing with Tommy's, and that's the thing with mine. You load it in a different location and it travels into the box.
Yeah. Which is
so insane. That's the first thing. You never have to touch it. This one and the previous Wonderphone is a clear box. The outer box is clear. You can see through it on all sides.
Oh, wow. So,
you know, it was the same with the phone box. That's why I wanted to go with it's glass on the side, so you can see through it. You can see that nobody's going in and interfering with the inner box. The box is also raised from the floor, so you can see underneath the box. And inside the box, there's a little table that's raised that you can see underneath that. So it's the inner box, this gift box. We've done it as a generic gift box, a bright red gift box with ribbons on, the sort of thing that you'll find in any card shop, any gift store, any dollar store, that you buy a present and put it in and wrap it up. It's a very generic looking box. So you pick it up by the ribbons, you never touch it. The outer box is locked, unlock it, pick it up by the ribbons, you never touch the box, hand it to the spectator, and inside is the borrowed lost item or a prediction or whatever you want it to be.
Wow.
Now, the advantage over the last one, the other one, apart from the seeing underneath the things, is the portability of this. You don't need a table for it. It comes on a tray, like a carry tray that's about this big, and everything is built into the tray.
Which is the game changer for me, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Now it's portable. Now it's a cabaret piece. Now it's a working magician's piece. Put it in the flight case, carry it, take it out, put it on your table, whatever you want to set it on, and now a little setup, a minute setup, and you're ready to go. Your assistant can bring it on middle of the act, and when it's finished, they can take it off again. Very, very light, very, very portable, and very user-friendly now.
I mean, that opens up a world of possibilities at this point now. That's just great. So the tray, I don't know the answer to this, so I'm asking. The tray, could it be, obviously you can put it on a table and you can do it on a table.
Yeah.
Or you can have an assistant hold it. Could you, for example, get a member of the audience to hold it?
You could. I probably wouldn't. Yeah.
Okay.
But physically they can hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they held it and were looking at it, there might be a little tip towards the method. So you could quite easily hide that bit of the method. You could hide it so that they could hold it. So yes, it is possible, and they could do that. I wouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they can, yeah.
And you can load other things in there other than the phone now as well. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. You could, we can go back to the phone, to the watch now. The watch is quite a fun thing to borrow again now, a smartwatch. Very valuable, a little what are they called? iWatches?
That's how I think Apple Watches they're called, yeah.
Apple Watches, is it right? Yeah, the Apple Watch will fit in there quite nicely. Predictions, a Karan's medallion, anything like that can fit in there. Anything that's around yay big and yay deep will fit in there very nicely.
So could you use this as kind of like a master prediction system if you wanted to?
100%. Yeah, that's one of the other advantages of it. It could be a prediction. You would have to load it yourself. With the master prediction system, it can be loaded by an assistant off the stage. Mm-hmm. This would have to be loaded on the stage in front of the audience. But the loading system is very, very easy and very, very motivated.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little box on the side that you can keep your props in. I keep my gavel for the auction hammer. The routine that comes with it is fantastic. So there's a little hammer in the box, and you're loading into the box on the side, and then it travels into the box inside the clear box. So it's very well motivated.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. And now the important part. The Kickstarter. I want to talk about the Kickstarter because there are certain levels. But first of all, what made you decide to go with a Kickstarter? Because I know people would buy this in droves. I think it's a good idea. I think it's the right thing to do. I just wondered what made you decide to go down the Kickstarter route.
I really like the concept of Kickstarter. I like the idea of it. I've just loaded it up now. I've just sold another one. So that's quite good. The early birds, I think there's going to be one early bird offer left.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I better get on there now.
Yeah, I'm quite...
Thanks,
yeah.
Thanks, Matt. I'll see you next week.
So I think it's a good way to judge what the market's going to be like. The Kickstarter is going to run out just before Blackpool, and then I'll have the Blackpool convention, and then after that, that's it. We won't be making any more. No, that we're taking all the orders from the Kickstarter and Blackpool, and then that'll be it. Certainly, that'll be it for a year or two anyway. So it's a one hit.
Why did you decide to go with that?
Thomas More Creative are so busy.
Right.
They haven't got the time to be knocking these out in ones, one a month for every... They're working on TV, they're working on to tight deadlines. So I've got a window with them where they can make all the orders, and then that's it. They all get shipped out at once. So we may come back to it another time. But for now, once Blackpool's finished, that'll be it finished.
Wowzers. Wow.
But the Kickstarter, yeah, that's another reason that we can get all the orders all collated together and push it out. Plus, I do like the idea of Kickstarter. Yeah, I like the way it works. I like everything about it. I'm very, very happy with it. I've just launched a deck of cards for the Chamber of Secrets. These are beautiful cards.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So I launched those on Kickstarter, and that gave me the funding to get the printing done for the Chamber of Secrets cards. So I think it's a great idea, and I think things are heading more that way. I think that you see quite a lot of creators that are going on to Kickstarter.
Well, yeah, Illusionist and TCC have been doing Kickstarters for so long now.
Yeah, exactly. And if you go through, I mean, I wouldn't be able to sell this in the shops. There's no way. The price that I need to get for it to make it worthwhile for me, when you add on, certainly if you went through Murphy's or something like that, you add on Murphy's money and then shop money, it goes from a 2,000 pound prop to a 5,000 pound prop, which is just way overpriced. So on Kickstarter, you get to hit it at the price that the creator needs, so you're getting a much better deal from it anyway.
That's amazing. So let's talk about the Kickstarter. I'm going to punch it up in front of me. There we go. So you've had several levels on the Kickstarter, haven't you?
Yeah.
There we go. I've got it up in front of me now. And there is an early bird offer.
Two early bird offers left. There you go.
Two early bird offers left. And it's already funded, isn't it? Which is...
Yeah, it's already funded, yeah.
Just ridiculous.
I think it's 250% funded at the minute.
That's amazing. So let's have a look at... So first of all, you've got the early bird offer. There's two left, and that is 2,000. And for that, you're getting the masterpiece itself. You're getting the breakaway gavel, which is for your routine.
Yeah.
And fake mobile phone package, again, I'm guessing for your routine, and the digital download instructions. So basically, everything that you need to be able to do this routine.
Yeah.
And then after the early bird offer, the next thing that they've got is the masterpiece system.
Basically, in the early bird, you're getting a free breakaway gavel and you're getting the mobile phone package. You're getting those two bits for free.
Got you. Because if you pay your 2,000 afterwards, you're not going to get those two things.
Yeah.
But this is why, right, I want to ask you a question here, because this is why I haven't actually gone for the early bird offer. Because the next offer is 2,500, which gives you everything in the early bird offer, but it also gives you a flight case. And yes. I know Ryland well enough that he'll destroy something if it's not flight cased. So I'm like, oh, I really want a flight case for this, which means I can't really do the early bird offer. Is that right? Because the only way to get the flight case is to go for the full Monty.
The full Monty, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have to go for that.
Yeah, well, you can do the flat case as an add-on on the early bird system.
Oh, can you? Oh, I didn't know that.
Which would save you £75, because the flat case is £425, the full Monty is £25, so you would be saving £75 if you add on the flat case.
And would you advise people to get a flat case for this? How big would the flight case be? For your, I know there's people that are going to be asking this because obviously they're trying to decide whether to get it, how big it needs to be for their show, what they can carry around with them. How big would the flight case need to be?
It would certainly fit in the boot of your car.
Yep.
It wouldn't fit on hand luggage. The initial idea was to try and get it so it would fit in a hand luggage on a plane, and it wouldn't do that. But that's yay big.
Okay, that's not bad at all.
So yeah, it's a comfortable size. I don't know the exact measurements. My flat case is just being made at the minute. It depends what you do. I mean, I've had it for 6 months and I haven't had a flat case, but I'm stuck in my own theatre night after night, so I can just pop it off to the wings and it's set ready to go. So I haven't had one, but I'm taking it to Blackpool. I'm taking it on my lecture tour. So I've bought myself a flat case because I know that I'm going to be travelling around with it a lot. So if you are going from gig to gig to gig, absolutely you would use a flight case. When it gets packaged, the Thomas More sent it out incredibly well wrapped, opened it up. There's no damage on there at all. So it will ship to you without any damage. You don't need a flight case to ship it to you. But if you're going from place to place and you're gigging in place and you're throwing it in the back of your car, I would absolutely recommend a flight case. But you might have your own makers. I mean, a lot of you guys who have your own shows have your own guys who make your flight cases. So get it, and if you can get one at a cheaper price, have a look at doing that. But you need a flight case for it, certainly, if you're getting mobile with it.
And yet, while we're on this subject, before we carry on, this is actually a great thing for kids as well, kid shows. You know, if you want to... high-end closer that sets you apart to other kids magicians. I know we're talking about cabaret shows and stuff like that, parlor shows, but if you're a kids entertainer and you want to really set you apart from anyone else, this is perfect, because a lot of kids have phones these days. Island has a phone and he's in year six. But also, I always think that when you're performing a kid show, when you're doing a kid show, the important thing is to impress the adults, because they're the ones that are going to book you.
Yeah, and absolutely.
The sort of thing that would fit squarely into that family entertainer type thing.
I know Magic Sam's looking at one for his family show. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It'll work great for it. And I'll tell you where else it has worked perfectly. Is the after dinner speaking market.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's the routine that comes with it is an auction premise. It's from Tommy Wonder. So you say, I've been asked to do an auction. These after dinner speakers, they're always doing charity nights and auctions and things like that. It ties in so well with that. So I need to do an auction. I haven't got my watch. Can I borrow a phone? And then the first item on the auction list is a mobile phone. Great laughs. Smash the phone up with the auction hammer, and then you're into the routine. So you can get 5 minutes, you can get 10 minutes. You can start with it, do your after dinner bit, and then close with it by handing out the mobile phone in the gift box. Wonderful for after dinner speakers as well as cabarets. So yeah, I think it can work in anything. Like you said, illusion, mind readers for predictions. It works for everything, really.
That's perfect. Let's just get back onto that Kickstarter very, very quickly.
Okay.
So so you got the full Monty, which is the masterpiece system, breakaway gavel, the mobile phone package, and obviously you've got the flight case. And then your 375 package, full cabaret routine rights. This is an extra £1,250 on top. What are we getting extra for this? Because this is very interesting. What is the extra £1,250 for them, Matthew?
It's the rights to my cabaret, the opener of my cabaret routine. I've got a 25-minute routine. I've been doing it for close to 15 years. I did it at the House of Illusion for 2 or 3 years. I've done it at the Chamber of Secrets every single show for the last 9 years. It opens up my set. It's a 25-minute piece. It's guaranteed laughs. It gets the whole audience involved. It gets everyone singing, cheering, dancing. It does things that no other routine has done. I've closely guarded it, but it works beautifully with this box. And I thought, let's add it in. Let's put it there as an option. Now, I'm only going to be selling one of those per country.
Wow!
So if you're in England, you'll be the only person in England doing that routine, because I want to keep. I'm only doing five anyway, but it's going to be limited to one per region.
Wow. And you get all of the props that you need to do this 25-minute act, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's based around the masterpiece, but there is a lot of other things going on, a lot of other tricks involved in there. Basically, it's a game show. It's a British comedy game show. All the catchphrases from all the game shows you've ever heard. You know it, you love it. It's really, really connects with the audience, and you get all the props along with it, as well as a teaching how to do it.
That's perfect. That sounds amazing. That sounds absolutely amazing. Because, like, let's be honest, you know, how much are you going to spend if you're one of these close-up performers? You know, that I see on the channel all the time that there's a lot of close-up guys, and they've made their goal in 2024 that they want to put a 25-minute cabaret show together to upsell to their clients. Oh, I want to be able to offer this. Oh, you want close-up? Yeah, would you like a cabaret show as well? And it's hard. If you've never done stage, you've never done cabaret before, you've never done stand-up before, it's hard to figure out what to buy to make it your own. You spend a fortune. And just like, if you think buying a deck of cards for 20 quid that you put in your bottom drawer is bad, try buying a £1,000 prop that you think is perfect for your show and then having to put that in your bottom drawer because you know it's not. What you have here is you know, I'll say it, you're a genius as far as I'm concerned. You're so awesome. And you're saying, here you are, this is my 25-minute act. Take it. And use
and
it.
You know, I wouldn't be upset if nobody bought it. If nobody takes that package, it wouldn't bother me at all. I'd be quite happy if they didn't, because it is it's what I've paid my mortgage. I don't have a mortgage anymore. This routine has paid it off.
That's
just. I won't be offended if nobody takes it. Maybe when I retire, I'd like someone to do it.
Yeah.
But at the minute, I wouldn't be upset if nobody else is doing this.
Yeah. And I bet if you were still living in the UK and you weren't over in Torremolinos, I bet you wouldn't, this wouldn't even be on the cards. This would
not chance. No, this is gold. This, it really is. It's my life's work, really. The masterpiece is the prop that I've spent all my life working. This routine is the thing that encompasses it all that I've also poured my life into. I did when I was at college, when I was 18 years old, my final piece for my art exam was a mind reading game show called The Psychic Factor.
Wow.
That was done at 18 years old. I'm now 48, so 30 years ago. So for 30 years, I've been working on this magic game show premise.
Wow.
And this is its culmination. So for cool. 1,250, it's not a bad deal.
It's not a bad deal at all, mate. That's amazing. But then you have the even better deal, as far as I'm concerned, which is the Masterpiece Masterclass, which is the whole cabaret routine, right? I believe that you get that as well.
Yeah.
But you also get, as part of this, a week over at the Chamber of Secrets.
5 days.
5 days, sorry. 5 days over at the Chamber of Secrets. Personal tuition on how you... guidance off Matthew as he runs through everything you need to know about creating and performing your masterpiece act. You go and do it at the Chamber of Secrets in Torremolinos, and you see the masterpiece in action. Now, that's £5,000. And I know that there's going to be people that are going to be listening to this that go, £5,000? What the fuck? Which is fine. But you mentioned and referenced earlier on that off the back of seeing Tommy Wonder, you went and studied with Eugene Berger and people like that. I'm willing to bet that you paid even more than that to be able to study with those people. I remember speaking to Young and Strange, who arguably are one of the best illusion acts, as far as I'm concerned, comedy illusion acts in the world. And I remember speaking to Richard Young, and I said to him on an interview, what's the thing that made the difference? Because he was talking about how they were a struggling illusion act and how they weren't making any money and they were doing gigs that they weren't happy with. And I said, what was the thing that made the difference for you? And he said, hiring Andy Nyman for a day to come and watch our act and consult, because we learned more in that one day and it cost us a fortune. We didn't have the money, but paying that money took us to the next level that we wouldn't have reached if Andy Nyman hadn't come in and spent a day basically ripping us apart and putting it all back together.
100%.
When you are serious about taking your magic to the next level, you have to invest. And a lot of magicians think about investing as, I'm going to buy this new trick. I'm going to buy this new deck of cards. I'm going to search for this thing that's going to make me famous. But a lot of the time, investing is spending time with people that have been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. And if you want to be a successful stage, stand-up, cabaret magician, there's nobody who's doing it at the level that you... I mean, you've got your own theatre, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to say, this is not as expensive as people think it is when they read it on the Kickstarter.
When you've got 5 days one-on-one tuition, personally tailoring those 5 days to you as a performer in your act, I mean, consulting-wise, even a poor consultant's charging £100 or £200 an hour. Yep. So you're getting eight hours a day for 5 days. You're getting 40 hours. So even at £100, you're getting £4,000 worth of tuition.
Yeah. And plus, when you consider it...
Plus the master system, plus the routine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That £5,000 isn't really £5,000. It's £1,250.
Exactly.
Because you're getting the £3,750 package. So yeah. For £1,250, you're getting to hang out with Matthew Wright at the Chamber of Secrets for 5 days, watch your show, watch what you're teaching in action, and have 5 days of personal tuition. 5 days, £1,250. That's what, £250 a day?
Yeah.
You're nuts. Like, genuinely, you're nuts. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I've done a few of these weeks without the masterpiece, just one-on-one tuition. I've done it with quite a few performers, and they've had come over and they've created shows from scratch that they've gone on to do the Edinburgh Fringe, that they've gone on to work as a cabaret act. That you absolutely unique pieces of magic and pieces of theatre that are tailored specifically to them. That's my thing. That's what I've always done, from the House of Illusion to now, from helping Tom Crosby to Victor Pina to Dean Lahan. Lots and lots of magicians. I've worked closely with Matt Edwards, with Luke Cook, lots of guys, Dan Alam, that I hope would all say I've mentored and helped them in a good way. I mean, it works both ways as well. Matt Edwards was brilliant for me. I learned a lot from Matt. I've learned a lot from Tom. But I've had the experience of creating and helping someone create an act, and also create a personality and a persona that works for them on stage. And that's what it's about. It's not about teaching tricks. It's about teaching how to make the audience care about what you perform.
Absolutely. 100%. And like, I'll be honest with you, I've spoken to you about this. Another reason I've held off on the early bird offer is I'm seriously, seriously thinking about booking this for Ireland. And I spoke to you, I said, would you do it with an 11-year-old? And you were like, yep. So, you know, I'm seriously thinking, what?
Yeah, I mean, Ireland's got so much potential. And since you've said it, I've started watching it, and I've started having a few little ideas and things. He's on the right path, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm sure 5 days working with him, we could do stuff. I'm absolutely sure. But I'm very, very happy watching his progress and seeing how he's developing, because he's absolutely going the right way with it. And you should be really proud.
Oh, I
know you are really proud. So
I am. But yeah, I'd love to. This is the one I'm probably going to go for, because I just think it's an opportunity. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I mean, you're not going to do this again, like you said.
I'm only selling three. It's such hard work. You know, you say I'm crazy for doing it. I am crazy for doing it. When I've done these in the past, I'll get to like day four and I'm thinking, I'm absolutely knackered here. This is so hard work for me, because I'm switched on. My brain is switched on constantly for 40 hours just trying to create. And you can do it in spurts. You can do it in a 2 or 3 hours at a time. But to do it for 40 hours, it's such a long week. But it is very, very rewarding. But I am only selling three of those, because that's enough for 1 year.
Well, look, I've got to ask you two more questions, because I know these are going to be the questions that people ask. If they haven't used Kickstarter before, when is the money taken? And when will the product be shipped?
It works in a couple of ways. When is the money taken? It's held by Kickstarter. I think it's taken immediately. And it's held in an escrow by Kickstarter. So I don't get any of the money until after the project's launched and it's been funded. Now, it has been funded now, so it's definitely going ahead. So your money will be held in escrow And then once we reach the end of the date, which is, I think, is the 12th of February, once we reach out, that money will be transferred to me and we go ahead and start production, as I said, at the end of Blackpool.
Yeah.
We are hoping towards the end of April to have everything out. I mean, with Tom, you can never be 100% set to that deadline because he gets last minute jobs. Copperfield's flying illusion's just broken and he needs it fixing for tonight's show. So he has to, I don't know if he works with Copperfield or not, but that kind of thing. Level of thing where he has to drop everything and get on with that. So that could happen, but I'm hoping for the end of April.
Yeah, because I imagine a lot of people would like this for their summer seasons.
Absolutely, yeah. That's my goal, to get it ready for the summer cabaret and holiday park season, because I think that's where a lot of this is going to go.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. Amazing. I mean, there's nothing really else to say about this. This is one of the most exciting Kickstarters that I've seen. I'm definitely 100% backing it in one capacity. I just need to figure out which one. Seriously, Matt, congratulations on finally, after 30 years of work and dedicating your life to Tommy Wonder's Nest of Boxes, you finally come up with and reach the point where you've got this super practical, incredible system that, you know what, I think that in 2 or 3 years' time, people are going to see Axe do this and it's going to be like, where'd you get that from? Well, you can't get it anymore.
You know, one thing I will mention, because I've had quite a lot of inquiries about it, there's no electronics on this. There's nothing that can, there's no motors. There's nothing that can go wrong on it. It's really, really simplified. There are very few parts to it, so there's very few that can go wrong with it. And if there is anything that goes wrong, it's a very, very easy manual fix to it. So
I still can't believe you built it into a tray. I mean, that's such a big deal for anybody that knows the Wonderphone and the Nest of Boxes. The fact that you built it into a tray, I don't even understand how that's possible. I mean, I know the Nest of Boxes. I know Wonderphone. I can't understand how you've done that. And I'm excited to find out, because that's incredible. That's awesome.
Well, it's Thomas Moore. He took what was a very, very complicated method and stripped it down and simplified it so that you know it's going to work. And there's none of the issues that come with those complicated methods.
That's great. That's fantastic. And very quickly, before we finish up, people that want to see you, you're doing a lecture tour around the UK, right? When does that start?
No warning about that, Craig. Let me get my diary up here for a second. You've sprung that one on me.
And when are you performing the masterpiece at the lectures?
Yes, I'll be taking it with me, 100%.
Perfect.
The 5th of February, I'm in Manchester at the Order of the Magi. 6th of February, Southampton. Bad planning that. That's a long drive. The 7th, I'm at Zodiac in West London. Even worse planning. The 7th, the 8th, I'm in Darlington.
This is the worst plan.
Awful. Awful.
You're literally doing this.
I love Darlington. I love the guys at Darlington. And they asked me and I'm like, go on, we'll do it. And then from Darlington, I'm going to the Isle of Man. I'm doing 3 days in the Isle of Man. I'm doing a show, a lecture and a workshop in the Isle of Man. Then I'm in Leicester, Watford, Derby, and then we're in Blackpool.
Even Leicester, Watford and Derby is like that. Okay, fair enough. You're all over the place, basically.
Yeah.
Are you going to be accompanied by a retired, not retired, legendary magician?
That is the plan. Yes. Whether he retires between now and then, I don't know. Yeah, me and Harry, we've got the lecture together. He hasn't been very well, so I'm hoping that he's up for it still. If not, I'll manage. But yeah, the plan is me and Harry together, yeah.
That's amazing. And then obviously, you're going to be at the Blackpool Magic Convention. We are going to be having another chat at some point. Before Blackpool, but as well as the masterpiece, you have some crazy good releases coming out as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got some really cool things. Something with Mark Bennett, I've got an Out of This World effect that's out of this world, and one or two other bits as well. Yeah, really happy.
That's brilliant. You know what? The Mark Bennett thing, the thing you're doing with Mark Bennett.
Have you seen it?
I have. Mark showed it me. I do. I'm not going to say anything, but the thing that this is based on, I do all of the time.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the new version is more up my street. I will.
Well, I'm billing it as the most wanted trick of the year.
I like what you did there. Yeah, you see. but it's taken to the next level, this is. Like,
yeah.
I know we're being very cryptic, and for everyone who's listening to this, I'm really sorry, but we've not talked about this before. The version this is based on, this is the third version of something. The second version was amazing, everything that you got, but you get even more with this. The stuff that it looks so legit and so authentic. It looks incredible. Yeah, that's going to fly off the shelves. That's going to be one of those things that everyone's going to be like, oh my God. And I know you bought it out for a particular market in a particular geographic part of the world, but I think everyone in the UK is going to want that as well.
Everyone in the world knows what this is and who this is. So it's designed for one specific market, but everybody knows it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Matt, this is unbelievable. Thank you so much for joining me on Magic TV. Make sure you go check out the lecture tour if you're in the UK. And while Matt is bouncing around the entire length and breadth of the UK, go and see him. That would be amazing. And then you're going to be at Blackpool and go and check out Matt there. I'll have another video before Blackpool with Matt talking about all of the new releases. But get on the Kickstarter. The link is down in the description right there. You can click on it and you can go and sign up. I think it's probably going to be the most. Well, it is. It's the most exciting Kickstarter that I've ever seen in Magic. So, Matt, congratulations on another winner.
Cheers, Greg. Thanks very much, buddy. See you later.
No problem. See you later. On behalf of Matthew Wright, guys, thank you very much for joining me on another Talk Magic, and I will see you again soon. I'm Craig. This is Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic podcast.